A very good evening to you and welcome back to Tiger Talk. New year, same great show. This is William Haynes welcoming you back to Star 99. We're moving forward back every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock to talk Mobridge Pollock sports and activities. The show always brought to you by Dakota Bank of Mobridge. We thank them for their support of the show. And a really great interview tonight. We will be joined by Mobridge Pollock girls basketball coach Stefan Hedick, as they have started off 6-1 to this season. We'll talk about their big showdown with Miller tomorrow night and the last couple of games, including a nice bounce-back win in Madison against Flandreau, and including some really strong starts to the season for several of the Lady Tigers players. And Coach Hedick gives us really tremendous, fantastic insight, some stories, and he is a great interview. So a big thank you to Coach Hedick for his time tonight. But before we get to that, let you know what's been happening recently in Tigers action the last week or so. For boys basketball, last night in Mobridge, they defeated Potter County 72-56. Now, if you missed the game, that final score, I would say a little bit deceptive of what we saw on the floor. It was just a two-point game late in the third quarter, but the team's really trading runs all night long, and it was a run to the tune of 17-8 in the final quarter of play won by Mobridge Pollock to get to that 72-56 score. Shane Henderson, probably our easiest selection for player of the game that we have ever had. A season high 21 points, 17 rebounds, and 6 blocks. Those were all season highs for Henderson as he logged already his fourth double-double in what has been an incredibly dominant senior season for him. And on Saturday, the Tigers lost in Bismarck to Shiloh Christian 69-64. They had a 9-point lead going into the fourth, but allowed 28 points in that fateful final 8 minutes to Shiloh Christian to lose that one. They shot well in the game, though, 47%, so moving in the right direction as far as that's concerned. Really the difference, points off of turnovers, 23 for Shiloh Christian, just 4 for Mobridge Pollock. So not only the Tigers coughed it up, but Shiloh was able to convert them for some quick buckets. So that was the last week for boys basketball for the girls, and we will talk about this in lots more detail here in a minute. Defeating Flandreau 57-36 in Madison on Saturday. Outscored the Flyers in all four quarters. It was 13-5 after one, and the defense for the Lady Tigers continued throughout the night. Held Flandreau to under 20% from the field, just 10 of 51 of their shots the Flyers were able to make. And Charlie Henderson with a season-high 20 points. She was our player of the game there in Madison on Saturday. And finally, for the boys wrestling team, they were in action on Saturday at the Webster Area Invitational. Luke Olson made the semifinals in 132. Braden Wenches in the 144-pound class went to the Consolation Semis. Caleb Keller in the 150 class made it to the Consolation third round. In 175, Canyon Ford went to the second round of the consolation round. Wyatt Ziegler went to the 215 semis, went pretty deep in that one. And Axton Gates went to the consolation round 3 as well in the 215-pound class. Coming up at the end of the program, we'll take a look at what's ahead in the following week for Mobridge Pollock. But let's now enjoy tonight's interview. This is a fantastic way to kick off a new year of Tiger Talk. We're with girls basketball coach Stefan Hedick. Thanks so much for being with us tonight, Coach. How are you?
I'm very good. How about yourself?
Doing really well, thanks. 2025, been treating you well so far?
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, 7 games in for the team this year, 6-1. How does this start to the year stack up with past seasons, and what's pleased you the most?
You know, it's really good. It's been a great start. I would have to dig back to actually look at comparison of records or numbers. I don't pay a lot of attention to that, but I would probably guess in 6 years, it's probably the best start, that we've had since I've been a part of the program, just based off of, you know, we've always started with Ron Colley and Sis Tin right in that first stretch and stuff like that. Some of them tougher games. And, I'm sure this is the first year we've, not necessarily the first year we've beat them both, but definitely the first year we've beat them both in the same year. So, yeah, it's been good. You know, a 6-1 start's always exciting. And, we're off to a good start, and I really love the way we're going as far as what parts please me the most, or you ask something of that nature. Just, you know, the way the girls are playing, they're playing aggressive and they're playing smart, especially this past game that we had. Very happy with the way the girls played. They took care of the ball and got the ball moving. And, you know, our one loss was 2 games ago, and it really was a little bit of a wake-up loss, I think. And we dug in and we focused the next 2 or 3 practices and on fixing some of the things that we think are what hurt us in that game. And they really turned it around for the next game. And, you know, to go to a 4.5-5 hour drive on a neutral court and take care of a tough team like Flandreau the way we did is really exciting. So I guess I'm just excited about the start we're on and the way the girls are playing and excited to keep moving forward.
Yeah, I think our minds are in a very similar place, because that was kind of where I was going next over the weekend. Obviously, the team went to Madison. They call it America's Hometown Classic. It was a real great event. They got 18 games in there on Saturday, so lots of basketball going on there. Great for the fans. But how was it getting out there, just the first real long-haul road trip of the season? Do you find it's, especially the first time, just good for the team getting all that time spent together?
Yeah, it's not bad. You know, I think they talked about last time how having the number of home games we had is nice to get started and be able to play in our own gym where we're comfortable. But eventually that all balances out, and you typically have to have at least as many, if not a couple more road games than you do home games. So we got to start getting some of those checked off our list, and that's a big one. Because of the numbers, it being just varsity, we just took a van. It wasn't a bus ride. So we allowed plenty of time so the girls could get there plenty of time and get loose and get their legs stretched out, watch a little bit of the game that was on the floor before us. And we had a nice meal together in Aberdeen as a team on the way down there. So yeah, we just, like I said, we took plenty of time to get down there and get ready to take care of business.
Yeah, and a productive business trip it was. Beat Flandreau there 57-36, and that was directly after your only loss of the season to Lakota Tech, which you touched on, and you said maybe some harder practices in between. Were there any adjustments after that game, or maybe just anything that loss shined some light on that was able to be cleaned up, because you beat a pretty good Flandreau team by 21 right after?
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, I would consider that a little bit of a wake up to the girls. You know, at the previous point, we were 5-0 or whatever, and sometimes it's easy to forget even subconsciously the work that got you to that point. So the Lakota Tech game, we really, really did not shoot well. The shooting percentages were low, but part of it relays back to some of the shots we were taking and the time we were taking them each possession. You know, we felt like a lot of them were rushed. You know, you don't want to have just one pass and then throw up a shot every possession. And that was happening a little bit too often. Also, that was the first game where JC's injury showed up and she didn't play. So some adjustments off of that. But we came back. You know, I just told the girls there's nothing to hang your head about. You know, Lakota Tech's a very respectable team this year, and their record shows it. They got some solid players, and credit to them for coming and playing a great game and getting the win against us in our gym. But the next few practices, we really focused on. Number one, we made a couple adjustments specifically in our press to where certain girls were. You know, with JC being out, we moved Tegan back to a wing spot on that press, and Brooke stepped in and just to simplify her role as a new starter, she stepped up to the point where she doesn't have to think as much, doesn't have as many different options of what she has to do. And I think that was very successful, as well as, like I said, part of our focus those next few practices were the ball movement. Lakota Tech jumped on us in a zone, and we had open shots after one pass or early in the possessions, but those aren't necessarily the best shots to take. So we put a lot of focus into moving the ball and getting it snapping. And, you know, we got out to a lead against Flandreau, who's definitely a solid team. You know, they've had a few state tournament appearances and some success there a few years in a row, and they're coming back with all that experience. And anyway, we got out to a lead and we kind of carried it the whole game. And then in the second half, when they were trying to get back into it, I'd scouted and I knew they kind of switched their defense between man and that trap zone that they do at times. And they threw that trap zone at us, I think, in an attempt to try to get back into the game or get it back to tied or even, and we were ready for it. And the girls did an exceptional job of translating those practice drills and what we did in practice into that game, and our ball movement was phenomenal. We had the ball snapping around the perimeter, and we had inside touches, which is another thing we thought was lacking in the Lakota Tech loss. So getting that ball in there for Charlie and Faith to get their hands on it a couple times makes that defense shift to the inside. That's going to get you a lot better looks from the perimeter, as well as just those girls able to take care of it inside. And it showed, you know, our ball movement was tremendous. We got a lot of wide open looks, and Charlie and Faith on the inside were able to, specifically Charlie in that game, she was really able to have an exceptional game, and it showed. And then as they tried to claw back in, we kind of actually were able to just extend that lead out in the fourth corner and, like you said, get it to 21.
It's a great inside look, Coach. And yeah, you held Flandreau under 20% from the field. They were just 10 of 51 in that game. One player that stood out for me in that game and really all season on defense, Faith Heil. She makes her shots count when she does shoot them. She was just the 2 for 3 there, but had 4 steals, 4 boards, 4 assists as well. I mean, she's averaging 5 rebounds and almost 5 steals a game. What makes her just such a menace to play against?
Faith is just an exceptional player and an awesome athlete. She's she's doing a great job for us this year. She, in that press, you know, that's kind of her. One thing about Faith is she just has a natural nose for the ball. You know, I've said before, I swear she could play free safety in football, you know, because she, when the pass is in the air, she just reads it so well, and she sees where that's going, and she can jump out in front of it and intercept it, or at least get a hand on it and knock it away and knock it to a teammate or whatever. And she's super aggressive in that. And that's why, you know, when we're in our pressure defense, you're never going to see Faith Heil in a spot other than that middle spot, which is, we call it the interceptor spot, because that's just what she does, and she does such an amazing job at it. Like you mentioned, she's averaging almost 5 steals, which is unbelievable. I've never seen that, you know, and I have no doubt she'll keep that up. She's aggressive and she's tenacious, and she's able to sniff out those passes, and even in a half court defense, you know, if somebody tries to make a reversal pass, she's on it, or they might try to make a pass across the lane, she's on it. So that's also led into a lot of her, I think she's probably at a pretty high percentage, because a lot of the baskets that she's getting are those tipped passes and steals in transition, and then she's shooting layups. So she's doing a good job of that. One of the things we talked about is her getting more touches as well in the half court defense, same as Charlie, you know, that's an adjustment that we made. When we did get touches on the inside against Lakota Tech, it was successful, but unfortunately it only happened 4 or 5 times. And that's not to say that those girls just are going to catch it and score every time, but it allows the defense to have to shift to the inside. And we make a lot more threes, and I think it's true of any team or any player, that you're going to make a lot more perimeter shots when they're coming off a kick out from the inside than you are when they're coming from a rotation around the perimeter or a creation off a dribble. It's just because that ball's coming straight at you, you're able to catch it right in your shooting pocket and get right into your rhythm. So those seem to be higher percentage perimeter shots. So when you can get the inside touches and then the kick outs, that's going to help us along the way as well.
That in is a perfect analogy with Heil about a football free safety, the way she intercepts a lot of those passes there right in the middle of the court. Charlie Henderson, looking back to that game on Saturday, a season-high 20 points. It looks like she's gotten stronger as the season has gone on. She also had 5 rebounds and 3 assists in that one. What are you noticing in her game as of late?
Oh, Charlie's just stepping up, and she's our lone senior, and she wants to get the most out of this season just like any senior would, and she's doing a great job. For years, we haven't had, I always say that I've always had to lie to put 5'10 on the roster, and everywhere we look, we're playing against 6 foot or 6'2 or 6'4 or whatever. And so, yes, we play fast, and we try to make up for that, you know, playing in transition and not having to get in a half court set where you're post to post and back to the basket. But obviously, at times when you're playing a Sisseton and a Long Auger girl or any of those teams we've played with these big girls, there's going to be possessions where you end up in a half court set. And to Charlie's credit, she's been an undersized post for 4 or 5 years now, but she doesn't let that be an excuse. She doesn't let that be in her head, and she just goes out there and plays aggressive and plays to her best, whether it's getting around on a front side position at times or three quarter, or just being strong and playing behind them and getting some help from the perimeter. She steps up to the challenge no matter who she's playing against, and she's done a great job. You know, some of those first couple games when we're playing those big physical aggressive posts, she comes back to the practice the next day, looks like she got hit by a train with all the bruises up and down her legs, the way the post game is kind of played now. But she's never mentioned it. She never complains about it. She just goes out there and takes care of business, and we appreciate that about her as well.
And something that I've noticed, I had the opportunity to interview her a couple of times during the volleyball season. Really good confidence. What's her value as a leader for this team? Also, you said the lone senior on the roster.
Yeah, it's exceptional. Charlie's had as much or more experience on the varsity side as anyone. She's seen the ups and she's seen the downs, and she's seen, you know, all the different facets in almost three and a half years of the program now. You know, our programs, every coach tends to have their tendencies and does things the same way. So just knowing how things work and having been a part of it for 1 year longer than everyone else, she's shown great leadership. She's taken that upon herself as one of her goals this year as well, to step up vocally. Charlie's always been somewhat of a quiet young lady, but she's doing a much better job this year. On her own accord, you know, as her own, one of her own goals to step up and be more of a vocal leader. And but Charlie leads by example as well. You're never going to see her complaining. You're never going to see a negative attitude. You're never going to see negative body language. She's always encouraging, and she's always positive, and she's always giving it 110% on the floor every time she's out there.
You're absolutely right. That post position is not very forgiving, but you would never know by looking at her. I would be remiss also if I didn't ask you about the newcomer, Blake Thompson. She led the team in scoring the first five games of the year. Also an incredibly tenacious rebounder and defender, too. She's always around the ball. I mean, that's an awfully easy way to get integrated with a new team, right? Playing as well as she has.
Yeah, you know, Blake's not, and maybe I misled you, she's not completely new to us. She did play for us her freshman year, and then She had left for her sophomore year, but she's flat back, and we're obviously glad to have her back. She's got a ton of ability, a ton of prowess. You know, she's able to score from the perimeter. She's able to attack from the, you know, penetration, and she's able to kind of score at all facets. And you mentioned rebounding. I've noticed that she's doing a great job this year of, you know, rebounding's an art. It's not just a matter of seeing the ball come off the rim and grabbing it. You got to make contact with your girl. You got to box her out, and then you've got to know just the right time to go grab it. She's doing a good job. I would say years past, that's where some of our teams have had issues in making that contact and not losing the girl behind them, and that's where we've lost some rebounds. We're doing a much better job of that, and Blake is one that I've specifically noticed. She does a great job of finding the girl on the rebound, making sure that the box out is taken care of, and then going and grabbing it. And then just like we all are, we're up the floor. You know, her eyes are up the floor. If she's got an advanced pass that she can make to try to get into transition, it's there. And yeah, she's been great to have back, and we appreciate it a ton. She's doing a good job. She had one play in that Flandreau game that was kind of a highlight for all of us. Towards the end, she ended up kind of in a one-on-two in penetration, and she threw a pass fake across the lane that I think the defender's still wondering where that ball was and how it still ended up in Blake's hands. And then she's shooting a wide-open layup on the backside. So, yeah, she's one you can tell has had a ball in her hands a lot since she was at a young age, and she does a very good job as well.
No doubt about that. It's been a consistent rotation this year. The only change that we've seen in the lineup, inserting Brooke Bain into the starting five, you said JC Netterville out for the last two games. Is there anything you can tell us about JC's status?
Well, it's kind of unknown yet. She's had some issues with some of her muscles and nerves and things like that in her back, and she's had an MRI, and they're kind of in the process. They've identified what the problem is. It's more of a pain management thing, and I feel for the girl. It's kind of heartbreaking. She's driven and she's doing such a good job for us. But the past couple years for her have just been riddled with different little nagging injuries or bigger injuries. And unfortunately, she's been unable to complete a whole season. She's had games off here and there, but there's nobody more driven to be a part of the team. She's still coming to every practice, so she's not missing out on any of the learning, and she's helping in any way she can. So hopefully we can just, I know she has a couple more appointments this week, seeing some specialists and things like that, and if they can pinpoint what's causing the pain and get something figured out as a plan, hopefully we can get her work back into the rotation and right back to where she was, because she was a big part of our success early in that team as well. That's not to take away from any of the girls that have stepped into those roles. So they're doing a good job and working their way into it and learning in those new roles. But yeah, she's a big part of our program still, and we're hoping to get her back sooner than later.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks for letting us know about that. She was a player of the game for us early on. She had Jay Davis told me, a career high in points in one of those games early, which was a nice moment. But Brooke Bain has filled a large part of that role. And what have you liked from her playing a size of as a role that she's had as just a sophomore?
Yeah, she's doing a great job. She stepped in there, and like you said, we just kind of, as far as the individual player strengths and weaknesses, we figured out after that Lakota Tech game that we needed to swap a couple positions in our press just to have the best roles for the right girls. But Brooke, we've known she's just a natural player, a natural athlete, and for years she had a great sophomore, a freshman campaign last year, where she got minutes here and there, and she has a good shot and a good ability to score. And as she continues to grow into the mental side of the program and the knowing what to do on defense and offense, there's the sky's the limit for her. I anticipate her to continue to take one little step every game as she fills into this role, and she's doing a great job already. And I only see that increasing as well.
Well, coming up on the schedule, it's a big one tomorrow for those listening live tonight, or if you're listening maybe in the morning, it's Thursday, January the 9th. It's an undefeated Miller team that you take on the road.
Wow.
And that's been a back-and-forth series with them over the last couple of years. What kind of game are you going in there expecting from them?
You know, Miller's one of those right now. I look at their schedule, and they're undefeated but relatively unchallenged. So, sometimes that's the hardest team to scout. They've won all their games, but they've won all their games by high margin, and it's all been to teams that seem to be kind of struggling, you know, not doing the best. I think you combine all five or six of their wins, and the opponents might have six total. So that's hard to know really where Miller is. You know, they're undefeated, so obviously they have the ability to win some games and play, but we're not real. It's hard to know where they are in comparison to other teams around the state, because there hasn't been any close games. So really, ultimately, we just need to go in there and play our game, I think, and play to the best of our abilities, play to our strengths, and the rest I hope to take care of itself.
Certainly there. And again, I think, yeah, we are kind of in a similar place thinking. They've won all five of their games by at least 27 points. And I know this is something easier said than done, and at the end of the day, your game is your game. But for a team that has kind of just coasted to a lot of wins, is there something to be said? If you can punch them in the mouth early, you have no idea how they're going to react to it, because they've never played from behind.
Oh, I agree 1,000%. Along with us not being able to scout real well, not really knowing where they are because of the opponents they're playing, I would also extend that to say they might not really know exactly what their abilities are, you know, not having been challenged. Like you said, their closest deficit was 27. So if they haven't really been challenged in a game, stepping up and jumping on them right away and hopefully getting a lead right away is going to be nothing but a positive down the stretch, you know, get them questioning themselves and wondering what they need to do next and how they need to adjust, and not having that experience in the past should only be to our advantage.
And whichever team wins will take first place in the region. It's still very early, but Six single A is starting to look like a two-horse race between Mobridge, Pollock, and Miller. Anybody looking at this game like it's at all in any way bigger than just an average early January game? Is it any kind of measuring stick at all to see where you're at against a team that's 5-0 in your region?
Well, I would say that they're absolutely, but I would say the region is looking like you said, two-horse race, or however you term that. But there's two, you know, most everybody else in the region looks to be a little bit down this year, I guess, for lack of a better term. So every region game and every conference game, it seems like you feel it a little bit more, but ultimately it all boils down to just taking every game one game at a time, because when you get to a SODAC 16 and you're looking at that chance to make it to state, every game win versus loss is going to have the same difference for you in the seed points. So ultimately, whether it's a region or not, I think I'm confident in our ability to slide through the postseason region side of the tournament. So really we just have to focus on each game individually, knowing that each one counts towards that point average at the end. And that's crucial to have that as high as you can get it when you're looking at a postseason seed in the SODAC 16 and trying to get every spot that you can.
Right. Yeah, this is my last question for you, and it's looking at this middle part of the season. Seven games down, you've got 13 to go. What's the next step you're just looking to see this team take during this part of the year?
You know, just stepping up with our consistency and with our maturity, and we've done a lot of good things, and we've really identified the team that we are, you know, the way we play the best with our pressure and with our ball movement and controlling possessions when we need to, and all those things we've talked about throughout the year already. That's it. I don't anticipate a few new things that we'll pick up here and there along the way, but I would say after seven games, it's about honing what you're doing. We are working a little bit on a new defensive system that's more of just a combination of what we do in switching it back and forth a little bit. But ultimately, the goal is just to take every practice and every game and make one step forward. One less mistake, one more positive, whatever, and continue to build as a team. And ultimately, you want to be at your best in late February when the postseason rolls around.
Well, I know all of us are really excited to see where the year takes us. And your time means a lot, Coach. Thanks for spending it with us tonight.
Oh, I appreciate it. I love any chance I get to talk about the girls. They're doing a great job, and it's a great joy and privilege to work with them. And I appreciate any opportunity I get to share the word on them. I know a lot of our fans I hear a lot of get texts and hear a lot of compliments around the town for the girls, and that's all a testament to them and the work they put in. So any chance I get to celebrate that and spread the word in the community, I appreciate it. So I thank you as well.
This was our second interview with Coach Stefan Hedick this year. We also spoke to him right before the girls basketball season started, and both interviews absolutely tremendous. All sorts of insight from some of the strategy, some of the adjustments that have been made from game to game, as well as how he uses each of the players, and great to hear some of the individual stories as well about the Lady Tigers player. So again, a big thank you to Coach Hedick for spending some time with us tonight. We greatly appreciate it. Looking ahead at the schedule for Mobridge Pollock, a basketball doubleheader in Miller tomorrow, big time regional action. And we're underway on the air at 6:30 tomorrow night, 99.5 FM. Right here, you can also watch the game on drgnews.com. The girls game, that's a massive tilt. Lady Tigers 6-1, Rustlers 5-0. As we said, winner of that game will take first place in 6 single A. And on the boys' side, Tigers looking to continue their winning ways after beating Pawtucket County last night. They are now 5-2. Miller on the boys' side, 2-3. And again, we're on the air at 6:30 tomorrow night. For both basketball teams, that's the last game until next Thursday, the 16th, against Crow Creek. And for Mobridge Pollock Wrestling, the boys and the girls team, this Saturday will be in Presho at Lyman High School. I love the name of this event. It's the Mid-Dakota Monster and Bride of the Monster tournaments. So we will be back next week to recap that as well. Big thank you for Dakota Bank of Mobridge for helping us bring Tiger Talk to you. This has been William Haynes saying thank you for tuning in this week. We'll be back next Wednesday at 7. We're rolling through now the rest of the way through the winter and spring seasons. Until next time, you're listening to Star 99.